Parshios Tetzria Mitzora deal with the laws of Tuma and Tara, purity and impurity, that affect the human being. This follows the laws of the kosher and non-kosher animals in the previous Parsha, and indeed Rashi brings down that Kishem, in source 2, Shitzirato Shel Adam Achar Kol Beima Chaya Va'of B'maisa Breishi, just like first the animals are created and then man, so too the laws relating to people follow that of the animals. And the Medrash says, Zocha Adam Omrim Lo Takidamta L'cho Maisa Breishi. If a person is Zocha, if a person merits, then we say you preceded all of the creation. V'im Lav, and if not, Omrim Lo Yitush Katmach, we say that a mosquito came before you. And obviously the question which the Sefer Aruch from Zeta Lepstein brings down is, Habamitzius Nivra Adam Achar Behemoth. You can't lie. Right? Man was created after animals. What does it mean if you're Zocha, if you're worthy, then you were created before them? And we're going to deal with this question. This will not be our main question, but we're going to touch on this question, Mirtz Hashem, at the end. Pasuk begins, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, when a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, she shall be contaminated for a seven-day period, as during the days of her separation time. Now, she shall be contaminated. It goes through the halachos of the Tumah and Tara after giving birth. On this pasuk, there's a very famous medrash. And this medrash, as we've dealt with this medrash in the past I just mentioned, we've dealt with as well the medrash we're going to bring today. However, we're going to look at both of these medrashim from perhaps a little bit of a different vantage point. I would say a much more simplistic vantage point. And the simplicity is the depth for today. I'd like to take a look at Rav Freifeld, In Search of Greatness. This is a piece we've done a number of times before, but we're going to really look at it from a different perspective, a very different perspective today. He notes in the beginning, Parsha Tetzria, after the Torah has spoken at length about the Korbanos, it begins with the conception and birth of a child, the momentous arrival of a new human being in this cosmos. At this point, when the child being discussed is still the tiniest infant, the sages in the Medrash, in their never-ending quest for the great truth of the universe, find it imperative to define the dimensions of a human being. Who is he? What is he? Where does his function? What is his purpose? Isha ki tazria, says the Torah. When a woman gives birth, what is the significance of a human birth? Animals also give birth. So the sages bring a pasuk into Tehillim, and this is the Medrash. We're going to learn together, and Yirtz Hashem together, my friends. Achor v'kedem saratani v'tashes alai kapecha. You restrained me front and rear, this David HaMelech says in Capitul 139. You place your hands upon me. David HaMelech speaking to him, he says, you formed me achor and kedem. These are two extremities of a person, achor, that which comes after, and kedem, the beginning. What about the word saratani? According to some commentators, it's derived from the word matsor, a fortress. David HaMelech is saying that the Almighty enclosed him in a fortress, limited his ability to move about. In other words, he's saying that the Almighty restrained him at the beginning and at the beyond. I am an entity, says David HaMelech, with limitations. I have a kedem, a beginning, and achor, and afterward. When David HaMelech chose to discuss the significance of his very being, the first thing that comes to his mind is that he's a person constrained by finite dimension. He is a beginning and afterwards an end. What does this mean? What's the significance of the terms Achor and Kedem? And then the Medrash goes on. The Medrash on this pasuk says, and connects it to our pasuk, they tell us that if a person is Zoche, if he's found worthy, he gains two worlds, the Achor and the Kedem, the future world and this world. This world and the next, he gains Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. But if he's not worthy, he has to give a din v'cheshbon, an accounting, before the heavenly court. David HaMelech is saying that person, when he's born, he's a creature of both worlds, as implied in the first part of the pasuk. Achor v'kedem saratani, you form me of two elements, one called Achor, one called Kedem. And then, v'taseit alai kapecha, you place your hands on me. According to this interpretation, you made me accountable. I'm accountable. If I fail, I will have to give an accounting. What does this really mean? This is what I'd like to look at in Mirtz Hashem, my friends, on two levels today. The first level is the way the Rav Freifeld Tzatzal explains it himself. And the second level will be a mahalach based on Rav Pinkus Zatzal that, albeit not directly responding to this medrash, I think is very much responding to what this medrash means. The achor v'kedem, the end and the beginning, the idea of being in the narrow strait. But Hashem places His hand on us. These are three very interesting imageries that we need to relate to. And we, each and every one of us, needs to relate to it, because all of us are this little human being that has a beginning and end, has Hashem accountability on us, and we're all in these narrow straits. What this medrash is coming to teach us, if we understand it correctly, my friends, is a pathway or pathways on how to deal with life. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisions for us in life and gives us a guidepost on how we can be successful. So let's understand Rav Freifeld on the first level. Our sages here in the Medrash Sur 7, at the beginning of Parashat Chazriah, are grappling with an important question. They're trying to define what kind of cute creature is a human being. And they find it in this pasuk. A human being is definitely material. He is made of matter. Many kinds of matter, just like everything else that occupies a place in this world. But he's also more than just a lump of matter. He's also a mechanism of form. This is very much Maharalian, the idea of the Tzura and the Chomer. He is a creature who is obliged to give form and shape to his material existence. He's a creature of two worlds, this world and the next. It is the world in which the material does not exist. There's nothing corporeal about Olam Haba. Our sages are telling us that the most dangerous mistake you can make when you look at a human being is to be unaware of his dimension and his function. We're telling you that man straddles two worlds, that albeit we're in this world, we're living in the next world at the same time. We're building toward that next world. Achor v'kedem sratani. Yes, I am here in this world, but the achor, the next world, we have to envision the end. We have to envision the next stage. And that has to be our mindset, our guiding post as we go through life. And we have to make something of ourselves. And as he ends this paragraph in 7, he says, a human being is someone who lives in a way that consistently gives form to his life. And this is the idea that we're going to develop in Mirtz Hashem much more in depth. That's what we're about. We're born as matter, but we have to give form to that matter. We have to make something of ourselves. Not just physically, you know, work out and have good muscles. Obviously, we're talking about the matter that Hashem has put in us. The traits that He's given us, the qualities that He's given us, and what are we making of ourselves with all of this. The Nakuda that Rav Freifeld develops in the key aspect in a person in developing their cells is based on the pasuk at the end of, we say at the end of Hodu and Tehillim, Pei Aleph, Yud Aleph, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzotzicha Meretz Yitzrayim, I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. And again, Egypt is that narrow strait, the idea of a tzartani, the narrowness. Harecheiv Picha V'amalehu. Hashem tells us, open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. We say it every day. You know what it means? What does it mean to widen your mouth? It means that Hashem has taken us in Egypt, and He's telling us to use our power of speech. The power of speech, which we know as the Umblus translates on Vayichpapapav Nishmas Chayim, that a person became El Nefesh Chayat, Meruach Mamalala. We have a living spirit in us. What is the greatness of a human being? The human being, what makes us different from the animal kingdom and from the rest of the world, is that we have the ability to articulate. We have the ability to speak. That defines a human being. We take the power of speech for granted. We don't think about the root and the significance of the power of speech. We use it. We abuse it. We never know what it means. We never stop considering what it's all about. But the Targum tells us that the power of speech is a sign of a human being. He's a Ruach Mamalala, the squiggly line, a spirit that speaks. And this shows us that the power of speech is the device that reveals the tremendous potential that lies in the soul of every human being. Now we can appreciate the beginning of the pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Sisicha, Meretz Yitzrayim. What does this have to do with open your mouth wide? So we know that Pesach, the holiday we just celebrated, which celebrates the exodus from Egypt, the Arizal says Pesach comes from two words, Pesach, a mouth that speaks. One of the great dimensions of the Egyptian redemption, the redemption from Egypt was, is that our speech was in exile. And when we were redeemed, we had the ability to speak. What is this about? What does it mean that our speech was in exile? So Rav Freifeld, and again, we've done this before, we'll do it again, and we're going to develop this in Mirtz Hashem. He says, to give an example of what it means to be in exile, particularly through speech. He says in the middle of nine, let's say, for example, a person is born with acute and preeminent talent for music. When this person is playing his instrument and making his music, he's clearly expressing the feelings of his innermost being. He's a musician. He expresses himself through music. Same with a person born with the talent of art. When he's painting, it's clearly an expression of his innermost being. Now, suppose you were to take this musician or this artist and you were to tell them, you would make a very good electrician. I want you to go to work as an electrician. This person may spend their entire life and make a lot of money as an electrician. But you know what? This person is in exile. This person has not lived out being who he could be. Each individual human being has his own singular nature and inner core. Each nation also has a singular inner essence, which is expressed in many ways, in its language, in its mode of expression, its modes of behavior and thought. And when a nation or a people cannot express their own inner essence, but instead find themselves expressing and mouthing the thoughts of other people who do not reflect their inner selves, they're said to be in exile. This is the meaning of exile. The same applies to an individual. When a person has lived his whole life and do work and practice, a lifestyle does not emanate from his inner being, he's in exile. A musician who spends his life as an electrician, even if he prospers, is unquestionably living in exile. And he speaks about, it's very interesting, like you really hear a Freifeld Zatzal speaking. He says, you know, sometimes I've been, you know, on an airplane or other, you know, places where people are talking to me. And he says, I try to be nice, but there's a limit. They just talk, nada, 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 nada. I simply can't speak. He says, I have to be nice, but limit. It's not that I'm irritable or narrow-minded. It's just at certain topics I simply can't speak about. They're just alien to what and who I am. If I would talk about them, I would be in exile. And why should I have to go voluntarily to exile? Speech is a reflection of who we are. And speech is just one aspect that reflects the entirety of our being. And it gives expression to what and who we are. What we talk about is a reflection of what's important for us. You know, you've ever been at parties or simchas where you're meeting with somebody who just talks about a topic that just enthralls them. Butterflies, I don't know. Enthralls them to the very end and it bores you to tears. That's their essence. Their speech is reflecting on who they are. And this is what they talk about. These are very subtle things, but they're crucial to the whole psychological structure of a human being. So many people who are weak live their entire lives and they're talking, 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 and they never really express themselves. They never really tap into their inner selves. This is unfortunately the way it is with innumerable people. It's a universal human problem. The exile in Egypt, the spiritual exile in the land of Mitzrayim, is exactly that. The Jewish people were in a situation of narrowness, where the Neshama of Yisrael could not express itself. Their inner beings remain unarticulated. That was the exile in Egypt. So the Almighty said, I took you out of Egypt. I took you from a situation of exile. There are no more Mitzrayim. The narrow boundaries that hemmed you in and stifled the expression of your own inner selves and no longer exist. Open your mouth wide. I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. I'll help you find natural expressions that you seek. So to understand this adkan is that a person is born with the achor v'kedem, the one foot in the next world, one foot in this world. It's about creating ourselves. It's about making something of ourselves. How do we access that deeper part of self to form it and to make it? The power of speech is a spiritual part of ourselves that needs to be accessed to talk about things that are really important to us, that really define who we are. And open your mouth wide, talk about these things, discuss these things in order to be able to take ourselves out of our limitations and be able to expand ourselves. Let's go a little bit deeper philosophically and then we'll enter into Easy Street, my friend. So hold on tight for just another few minutes and then we'll breathe. There's a brand new Sefer that came out, Mamash Erev Pesach, that is very big, very dense. It's not a bedtime reading, but whoa, is it amazing. It's reflections and introspections based on the writings of Rav Moshe and teachings of Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. These were the essays, some of the essays that he said about Pesach. A lot of them repeat themselves in ideas, but none of them repeat themselves. And you have to really hold on tight. Rav Moshe Shapiro, as we'll see right now, is whoa. And the book is just, it's breathtaking. That's the only way to describe it. But again, you have to be ready for a real read. It's in Hebrew as well as in English. He speaks about, and this question always bothered me, the first 2,000 years are years called, are years of tohu, right, of desolation, of nothingness. How can you say that? You ever learned about civilization at the time of Avraham? You know, they were very developed, and they developed a lot of, you know, for their time, a lot of very sophisticated things. Why does the Torah describe it as a time of tohu? So he explains in Source 13, when the sages describe the first 2,000 years of the world as years of desolateness, it means that the world was without form. The world was desolate, for perception was desolate. Aside from the few individuals, those men of eminence who were the exception in each of those generations, no one grasped the true essence of any worldly concept. The minimal awareness that prevailed only caused bewilderment and wonderment. Tohu, related to tohu, where he's in wonderment. Tohet. For a person who saw an object, saw its outer surface, even saw it well, but he was dumbfounded at the elusiveness of its inescapable depth. He would ask himself, is this object really only what I see? There appears to be much more. I have no perception of it. Thus the world had utterly lacked form. There was no awareness of essence, and all things were hidden. The true concept of all that this world revealed was obscured. The example that he gives is in 14. It's like a child seeing a crown. He has no idea what a crown is. He has no idea what a king is. He just sees this piece of metal, and he can use it, you know, to dig in the sand. He sees it, but he has no understanding and real depth of what it's about. Toheh, he wonders. In reality, back to 13, every detail creation has an utterance that created it and formed it, an action that made it. And its true essence is that it reveals the will of Hashem. He wants it to exist, and only because of this it exists. Indeed, the Hebrew word for thing is davar, which also is the word for word. All came into being by His word. Each creation realizes a part of His will, and all creations together realize His entire will that He wished to reveal to us. One who knows how to read creation reads it in the will of God. And that's why, again, Avraham Avinu was able to understand what the will of God was, because he was able to see in every davar, in everything, the dibur, the word of Hashem. Now let's fast forward into Egypt. Egypt is known as, just described in the Navi, as the place of donkeys, whose flesh is the flesh of donkeys. Even the wisest among them are an assembly of donkeys. Like unformed matter, continuing 15, Homer, which is moldable to any appropriate form, the donkey, the chamor, is a beast of burden, and within limits is usable for all purposes. What was Egypt about? Egypt is described as a place of donkeys. The place of donkeys is a place of Homer. The place of Homer is a place of material without form. And that's exactly what they were. It was the pinnacle of the world, was like the donkey, unformed matter, shapeable in any form. It was a land of delight. Its inhabitants fulfilled all the heart's desires. If nature impeded their way and made some pleasure unattainable, they resorted to sorcery. They had the unlimited confines of the human body. Their incessant pursuit of self-indulgence is a quintessence of the unformed matter. They actualize themselves in one form of pleasure. It lasts for a moment. Immediately they shed this form, and they revert to another unformed matter to be open to another form of excitement. They never attach themselves to a particular form, for the rest always remained unformed. Fleetingly, they mold themselves to some specific form, but only in pursuit of pleasure, which ends quickly enough instantly, and again become open to all possibilities. In this manner, they go through life without ever becoming anything. To become something is to attach oneself to a specific form and cease to be unformed matter. And this goes against their very nature. It's very much like a child when you give him, like, Play-Doh. So he'll make a, you know, a cup, and then he smashes it, and then he'll make a bowl, and he'll smash that, and he'll make a bowl, and then he smashes that, and he makes something else. That's how Egypt is. They're homing. They're taking one unformed and another matter after matter, getting as much pleasure as they can, and then squashing it and starting again, but never being able to go the whole distance of being able to take this and create some form from it, create some meaning from it, and create some purpose from it. And now I understand. For this reason, in 16, Egypt erases all speech and voids all meaning. True speech, not speech of morality, but speech of true existence, is a true form of something, the dibur in the davar. Egypt, which returns everything to unformed matter, obliterates true speech, and that's why our speech was an exile. Speech creates a davar, a dibur. It creates the will of God. It gives form to this matter. This was the antithesis of Egypt. Is it any wonder that they worked us bechomer ubelevenim? Chomer literally means with mortar, with the chumriot, with the chamor, with the physicality, with being only involved in the material matter. And we know what happened to Pitom and Ramses every time they built it. It collapsed again. It's nothing that's going to create anything of permanence. The Jewish people, 17, who were born in Egypt, were the exact opposite. Their entire essence focused on bringing out the image of the Lord in which man was created. Only they bear the signification of man, for all their faculties are aimed at developing their humanity to perfection. The children of Israel are a nation entirely of form. We are the faithful ones, 18 children of the faithful ones, descendants of Avraham. As his descendants, we live in a world of davar, in a world of meaning, not in the world of chomer, which erases the underlying dibur of all things. And this is our challenge. A person who refuses to connect completely to a specific form, to commit to it, and to continue developing with it throughout his life, to reach the purpose of his creation, is a person whose behavior is described in the first part of the book of Mishlei. Every person is unformed matter, and matter inherently aspires to accept some form, but generally the form that is accepted is impermanent. It suffices for the moment, but immediately a more captivating form is sought. Only rare individuals even have the notion of committing to a single form and continuing with it to reach their destiny. And this is our challenge, not to stray after your heart and your eyes. They look hither and thither in their quest for newness, and they wish to attach themselves to multitudes of forms. Committing to a single form and continuing with it makes life uninteresting. What is there to gain? All that has to offer has already been experienced, and now it's merely monotonous and boring. Let's try to understand just for a few minutes, perhaps, and Rav Moshe Shapiro is obviously very deep, and I don't claim to have an understanding with my limited understanding, what I think he's saying on some level is we're living, and he clearly says this, we're living in a time where it's so interesting, he brings down Rav Moshe Shapiro, that part of the klolos, the Parsha Ki Tavo, which we know is the harbinger of the final geula, it's a time that we're living in, it describes the last pasuk as going back down to Egypt. And he says this is in Egypt not even wanting us. And this is really what we're experiencing now. We're going down back to Egypt. We're going down to a world of unformed matter, of just going from pleasure to pleasure, just going from one experience to another, and being really sidetracked not to be able to focus on self. The time of Sfiras HaOmer, the time that we move from Yitzhak Mitzrayim to Kabbalah Satorah, is a time, like when we read the Parashios of Shavuot Vayeshavim, it's a time to work on ourselves, to form ourselves into something of value, into a being. And that's the question we have to ask of ourselves. You know, we're involved all day in building and doing and creating. How much of it is really involved in creating ourselves? How much of it is really having that vision of Achorva Kedem Sratani? I have a vision of Olam Haba. I have a vision of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me. I have a vision of what I can accomplish. And now I am living toward building up this vision. That's the question. I have a vision that I'm a person of chesed? Am I working on developing myself step by step, day by day, to be a more chesed person, to be a more giving person, to be a person who has more patience with other people? I look at myself and I see that my unformed matter is that I have this tuna, I have this trait. I have a trait of empathy, I have a trait of truth, whatever it is. Hashem gave me and He told me, develop yourself. Make yourself, as we've spoken about many times, nasa adam. Make yourself with this clump of clay that I've given you. I've given you this body. I've wired it in a certain way. Now I expect from you, achor v'kedem sratani. I expect from you in this human condition that I've given you to make something of yourself, to create something of yourself, that every day, every week, every month, you can say, you know what? I am moving. I am developing. I see movement toward this vision, this goal of who I am. And this, going back to Rav Freifeld in 20, so now we're coming back down a little bit, my friends. The Almighty says, Harchev picha, expand your horizons, break out of your narrowness, break out of the same old rut day in, day out. Widen the range of your conversation. Talk about what's real, what's important. Get to know yourself. And he says, people are narrow in that they cannot talk about these things. They can't talk about their tefillah, their challenge in their relationship. They can't add new dimension to their life. They're in exile. You want to know if you're big or you're small? Open your eyes and see. Then you're big. What are you afraid of? Harchei picha. Get out and talk about it. This is a criterion of who's a bigger person, who's not. This harchei picha brings surah into your life. More surah. It goes so far that achor v'kedem takes on a deeper meaning altogether. You start out from zero, kedem, as a helpless baby. And then you reach achor, you give surah to your life, you mold it. You make it to something higher. That's achor, that's a functioning human being. Then our sages say that zacha, if you're successful, he gains two worlds. What is success? If you take young boys and girls and you bring them up to be open to ruchnias, to be open to growth, to be open to rebuke, to be open to discovering right and wrong wherever it takes you, to be open to bringing tzura into their life, to be open to seeking expression for their innermost selves without fear, without constraint. That's the true meaning of success. Then you can occupy two worlds. Rabosai, there is a calling that each and every one of us has. And that calling is to make something of ourselves. As Rashi Shlita notes in 21, the very beautiful Medrash that tells us that the time, B'Shal Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam HaRishon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Adam HaRishon, he took it, and he gave him a tour throughout Gan Eden. And he said, look at the beautiful things that I created. V'chol ma shebarati b'shvilcha barati. Whatever I created for you. Tein da'itcha shelo tekalka v'tachriv et olami. Be careful you don't destroy my world. Says Rav Ezrachi, this is not just Adam HaRishon. This is a misima. This is a directive for each and every one of us. Al Adam L'Kayim in 22, et Yehudo b'mamar Hashem b'shvilcha barati. I've given you a world. I've given you the environment in your world. I've given you all that you need. Make something of yourself. That's our job. Our job is to create from this clump a human being that's going to be unique. It's going to be special in this world. And to be able to take all that Hashem has given us to develop ourselves. Rabosai, it is not hard to distract ourselves. We can go from one pleasure to another. We can go from one store to another. We can spend our lives, right? Shop till you drop. That's not a problem. How much energy are we spending inside? Not just clothing our outer body. How much are we spending on our midos, which also clothes us? How much time are we spending on making sure that they are beautiful, that they fit appropriately, that they also get changed with the seasons, and that they're developing over time? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. We also have to be careful not to destroy the world that Hashem has given us. Zacha, if you live in a world of Torah and mitzvos, then you'll be able to use that as your roadmap of developing yourself. And if not, then there's a din v'cheshbon, as Rav Freifeld mentioned in the Medrash. There's a din v'cheshbon. Tashen alai kapecha, Hashem will hold you accountable. I'll call maisa v'maisa, at every single deed. How come you didn't utilize this opportunity for growth? How come you didn't utilize this interchange, this exchange, to be able to become a more sensitive person, to grow from your mistakes, to be able to pick yourself up and change as a person? These are all our accountability. And indeed, as Rav Zaks notes in Menachem Sion, he says, every parent has to have this achor vakedem sratani in two aspects of the child. One is that the child is part of a link in a chain going back from Avraham Avinu until Yemos HaMashiach. And every parent has to see that this child is going to build on the previous part of the building and to continue. And that every child has to see themselves individually as having a beginning, moving toward an end. You have to envision this. This is the job of a parent. This is the job of each and every one of us who has to parent ourselves. As we know, we start learning Pirkei Avos during this tkufa, during this period of time, and we know in Source 24, Perek Gimel, Akavya B'Mahalal said, Dam Ayin Bata, know from where you've come from, look back, see your continuation of an incredible chain. Ul'ana Ta'olech, see where you're going, see how the future generations are going to be built based on what you've contributed to this world. And you're going to have to give an accounting on how well, and how strong, and how beautiful, and how functional is that part of the building that you are meant to create. It is a tremendous, tremendous responsibility on each and every one of us. So my friends, on the first level, when the Medrash is talking about Isha Ki Tasriya, this little baby is born, it's moments old. No, looking at this baby, Achor v'ketem sratani v'tashed alai kapecha. Zocha, you have two worlds. Lo zocha, you're not worthy. You have to give a din v'cheshbon. Rabosai, this is the first calling that parents and ourselves as individuals have to look at. We have a beginning. We came as a nothing, a little baby. And we have to develop ourselves into Achor, we have to develop ourselves into not just a chomer, into raw material, but into tzura, into giving form. After 120 years, they're going to ask you, well, what did you do down here? And you'll say, well, I consumed, I don't know, 3,000 kilos of chicken and another few thousand kilos of noodles. And, you know, I was online for another few thousand hours. Like, but what'd you do with yourself? What'd you make of yourself? I've given you a beautiful world. I've told you, do something with this world. What have you done? And when we live in a world where every moment, or as conscious as I can be, that I'm building toward the Achor, I'm building toward my Olam Haba, while I'm in this world, that I'm building toward a vision of being this type of human being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has envisioned for me, and that He has created me for a certain purpose. As I live life in two worlds, living physically in this world, but envisioning the end, envisioning the final product of who Hashem has envisioned me to be, and I'm working on developing those aspects, those quality traits, Sfiras HaOmer, to take one quality trait and really work on it, whether it's patience, whether it's honesty, whether it's kindness, to really work within and really take that time every single day to begin forming, and make something of ourselves. That's the leaving of Egypt. And the more we talk about it, and the more we access it, the more it becomes part of ourselves, the deeper that surah, the deeper that form will take. Then I believe there's a second, obviously there are many, a second interpretation of the Achor v'Kedem Sratani based primarily on Rav Pinkus. And he speaks about in 25, then the second bracha of Shmon Esrei, bracha of Tchiyas HaMeitim, there are five times the idea of Tchiyas HaMeitim. Mechayim Eitim Ata Rav Loshia, right? Five times the idea of resurrection happens. Why? It's to correspond to the five different parts of the soul. The Nefesh, the Ruach, the Neshama, the Chayim, Yechida, which is not for our discussion for today. Rav Pinkus speaks about it. It also parallels the five different kufot, five different periods that are found within each child. We'll start at the end of 25, from the moment the child is born until around 3. He's patur from Tara, you don't often mechanechem, and and you don't even have to teach him Torah, Tzivah, and Moshe. And this is a time, and he speaks about this at length, it's a time of just total connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, he brings down from the Sfarim that if a child, Shelo Aleinu, die in this period of time, even if the parents were the greatest Rishai, wicked people, the child goes straight up to Olam Haba. This is the time a child, once he has a Bris Mila, once he's given a girl named by the Torah, has this Jewish soul in them, it's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is a connection that is an unbreakable connection, and it's a time of tremendous dveikus, it's just a time of connection and depth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll just add here parenthetically, this is why they say that a child, once he begins to speak, you begin then to start teaching him. There is almost like a correlation here. As soon as a child begins to speak, he loses some of that innate kedusha, innate holiness, and he enters more into the physical world. And again, as we've seen, speech is what develops the child who he is. So when a child is a little baby and they say, you know, these nonsensical words, ba 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 da da da, whatever it is, right? Even you think they're saying the most, you know, sophisticated sentence, they're really not. But okay. What they're really doing is they're living in that world of total kedusha. They're now living in an articulated world. The more they come down to the articulated world, the more then we are obligated to educate them, the more they lose, so to speak, that pristine world of self. And that's the idea that when the malach comes, he touches the child on top of his mouth. Why not on top of his head? Because the loss of speech is really the loss of that pristine you know, when the child begins to speak and loses that that state of being. 26. The second tkufa is Yochinuch from 3 till 12 or 13. And this is a child who is, again, not responsible for any sin, but you're responsible to teach him. Then from 12 or 13 till 20. At 20, then you're punishable by Din Shamayim, by the heavenly court. Then the fourth stage is 20 until Arichus Yami. Like, you know, here you're responsible for every action, every deed, every thought. And the Shlava Chamishi, which is really where I want to focus in on, Shaloko Lachad Zochelo, in the asterisk in 26, Im Zachala Takenet Nasho Haresha Fachet Atron Tzadik V'Gaon Kadosh V'Chatzid. The highest level, and that's the Yechida, the highest level of the soul, is to be able to live a life of total dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here's the key in 27. B'shlav ha-chamishi mishizacha chozer be'etzem l'matzav harishoni shel hadam dveikus muchlete b'kedusha v'zot al-pi ha-klal hayadua shena'ut sofo b'tchilato. Achor v'kedem shratani on this level means that the end and the beginning I have formed. That the goal is that at the end, I come back to the beginning the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally formed us. You know, we know on a physical level, you parallel an elderly person and a baby, and the parallels are just, you know, shocking almost. You know, you push a little child in a stroller and you push an elderly person in a wheelchair. You have to mash up the food for both. You have to sometimes spoon feed both. You have to talk very slowly to both. I mean, it's two different sides of the spectrum, but it's almost like you're coming full circle. This is not the full circle we're talking about. We're coming full circles just like the first 3 years. You're on a level of Dveikus. You enter Olam Haba, right? Free ticket. Likewise, this is the goal to come back to Achor Vaketem Sratani, to have the vision, this is what we're living for, that the end of my life is a really a reflection of the purity, the way I began. Matarat ha'adami lachzor l'nikudat ha'atchala, our goal is to reach the beginning. Lo'ta kedusha shekadosh baruch hu natan bo lechatchila beit shenafachot ha'neshama ba'apao, the time when Hashem breathed life into him. And this is our job, v'halach yashar kemo shasau alokim, to live a life of yashrus, of straight. Klomar hu chozer lo'ta yashrut shaita lo b'shnotav ha'rishona. V'as hareza nikadesh kodesh kodashim. V'zo matarat adam v'shifato b'chol chayav. Our whole goal is achor v'kedem sratani, that the end should meet the beginning. That we should leave this world the way we came in, with the only difference. We've earned it. We've built it. And you can't live a life like this, 28, where sometimes you get up for davening, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do a chesed, sometimes you don't. To be a person on this level, you have to have in 28 a commitment, b'chol yemei chayav, your entire life, that this is your goal. You have a vision of reaching a level of this purity, of this connection, of this, what we would call, dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person leads such a life, moving to 29, then I can appreciate our original question, where if a person is Zoha, you say that you were created before the animal kingdom. Well, hold on, that's not true, we weren't. And the answer is in 29, many Mefarshim bring it here, it's brought from Menachem Sion, it's brought down in a lot of the Sfarim. He says, Ki dveikut v'atzmadat ha'tachpacha l'Torah sheba. In reality, if we can live such a life of achor v'kedem sratani, where I have the end connected to the beginning, that my whole life is a Torah-oriented life, that indeed I was created before the animals. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned a world of Torah, a world of people living this way, right? We know seven things Hashem created. This is in the final source, before Ma'aseh Bereishit. One of them is Ve'elohem Torah. Torah is called Ma'aseh Bereishit. So when a person lives a life of Torah, indeed we say that he has come before the entire world, because the entire world was created just for him. He was the vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned in creating the world even before the world took any form. Rabosai, the way to reach this, Umatar Hadamin HaBeima Ayin, says Rabbi Tzion Zaks in 29. The difference between us and animals is Ayin, it's nothing. We're both physical beings. He notes on a deeper level is the ability of Ayin, the ability to say no, the ability to have borders and boundaries, to use our bechira and to say, this is inappropriate, this is not going to be healthy for me, this is not going to make me a more of a Torah dicka person. When I have the ability to have the ayin, where I have that vision of a life of kedusha of tara, a life of holiness that I want to lead in my entire life, so then I have the ability to say, this is appropriate, this is not appropriate. Then I am such a person, O HaKadosh Baruch Hu, envisioned even before He created this world. So on the second level, Achor v'kedem sratani, that we have to have a vision of the end looking like the beginning. Where is our goal in life? So you're right, on the first level is to bring in Olam Haba into this world, to constantly be building ourselves, to be the perfected being that Hashem envisions. On the second level, this is true. It's not, you know, one versus the other. But it's just a different focus. What does this look like? It looks like that dveikus of that baby. It looks like the purity of that baby, to come back to that side of purity, that side of connection, that side of holiness, that side of tamimus, of that baby. That's our goal on a higher level, just to be able to let go like a little child does, and no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally in control. That's not about me, it's about Him. How do we reach this level? It's very nice to say, Achor v'kedem sratani. How do we reach this level? So I think the answer is, mamish in this pasuk, of sratani, of how Hashem formed us a narrow strait, v'tashet alai kapecha, literally Hashem placed His hand on us, but looking at it from a different perspective, not in terms of having to have a judgment, from a different perspective. Let's see this perspective. We'll start with Rav Achfeigel, where he says in 31, he says, what's the difference? Zocha, you're worthy, you're before the world was created, this is what Hashem wanted. You're not Zocha, you're not worthy. We say, you know, a mosquito came before you. What's the key difference? He says one word. He says, even if you haven't done a thing, he says, Amida mechuvenet et adam b'sulam 31 in the asterisk. The quality that moves a person along the ladder, liot mi bnei aliyah, to be a person of growth, He has she'ifa, is desire, is passion, is will. Hashoef legadlos, the ambition for greatness, ulekirvos elokim, and to closeness to Hashem, will reach there even if you haven't done anything. And he notes this very clearly in 32. He says there's no middle ground by she'ifa. Either you have a vision for greatness, or you're apathetic and complacent. And he said, the midas ha-she'ifa yetrak shnei ktavot. There are only shnei ktavot, only two dimensions. Oh, hu shoef legadlos. Oh, you yearn for greatness. V'laliyah. Oh, mistapek. B'madreka tov eino shoef lalot. Or you're happy with where you're at. And he says, and one who has she'ifa to go up, there's no end to where he's going to reach. And one who doesn't will just go down. As Rav Alperin points out in the Sefer Step by Step, of all the midos that play a role in the development of a person's character, the trait of ratzon, desire, willpower may be classified as the mother mida of all success. This mida leads to acquisition of achievements and accomplishments through the exercise of constant determination. Ein devar homei b'fnei haratzon. Now listen to this closely, my friend, because now we're mamish getting to the core of what our lives are about. Says Rav Pinkus, and this is 34. He says, we know that very famous Ibn Ezra about how can you say lo tachmo, you can't covet. You know, it's natural for a person to covet. So he brings Ibn Ezra, that person doesn't covet something that's beyond them to ever acquire, right? Like looking at yourself as a villager thinking that you'll ever get the king's daughter. You're never going to get there, so you don't covet something. And this, says Rav Pinkus, you see here, Klumar, chemda nova matchusha shadavar shayachela. To covet something. In this case, covet maybe have a wrong connotation. To desire something, have an ambition for something, to yearn for something, is only when you feel you can access it. Kashir barur l'adam shel davar misuyam ein lo kol shayachut lo yichmedeu klal. If you don't feel like you can ever reach it, you never will. V'nei sof kol achad yesh she'ifos l'gadlos. We all have a desire to be great, to be able to reach achor v'kedem tratani, to develop ourselves, both on the first level and the second. Hatzilo kokach, then he says, eifo, madu eifo hatzilo kokach yivesho. How come we don't daven for it? Mipzei ma lo chumdim davar, so why don't we want it? And he notes the following. He says, zeh ha-yusor ha-gadol shum da-tano ka-na-torah. Im Adam 36, rotzeh lizkot lamitot chastot shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you really want to become as great as you could potentially be, you want to reach, you want to reach that you're living in this world in Olam Haba existence, a form of meaning, of developing yourself. You want to live with that vision of that little baby, that being able to have that connection to Hashem and allowing Hashem to lead your life with that tmimus. You have to believe. Alav lavur tashlav shalamuna. You have to believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu machnisa tadam l'tov choshev. No, that's not going to come easy. Achor v'kedem sratani. Hashem puts us in meitzarim. He puts us in many migbalot. Understand that. Things don't come easy in life. If you think, oh, I want to be a balas chesed. You know what? I'm going to open up my home for all these guests like Rebbe Tzvi Machlis, and I'm going to become a person like her. It's not going to happen. We're limited. We're very limited in who and what we are. It takes time. And know that we're going to meet up with difficulties. But you can't give up. If you really believe it's true, then from the darkness you're going to be successful. Rishiko lo leher chas v'shalom. Don't doubt that Hashem and you can be able to do it. Sheni lachmoda tadavar. To really want it, to daven for it. Going back to Rav Freifeld, harachayf picha v'malehu. The more you open your mouth and say, Hashem, I really want to be this type of person. I want to develop this type of form. I want to have this dveikus to you. I want to let go. I want you to lead my life more. You have to be able to daven. You have to be able to express it. V'shlishit, and third, levatodzo gambo lama maisa shalom. To be able to live that type of life as well. To say, I want to be a balas chesed. I want to have a lot of guests. I want to have, and then never invite anyone to your house. It's not going to help, my friend. I want to be a person of patience. You're never trying to work on patience and take 20 minutes and say, I'm not going to raise my voice. If you're not going to do anything, you're not going to get there. You got to believe in it. You got to believe that Hashem is Vatasheita Laikapecha, that Hashem's hand is on us, that Hashem is there with an outstretched hand ready. His hand is on us, ready for us to grab it. It's almost that imagery, it's very powerful imagery. It's like that Hashem's hand is on us, and what we have to do is just grab it from beneath, and He'll pull us out. He'll bring us out. Yes, we're in darkness. Yes, Vatsartani. Yes, Hashem has limited us. But at the same moment of the limitation and the darkness, and Hashem's hand is almost again that imagery, kivyachol, of darkness, of the Hester. When you grab onto that hand and really believe that nothing is impossible, that you can do it, you can push through the darkness, you can make yourselves goals and be able to succeed in those goals. When you're able to then daven and ask and plead and try your hardest, Hashem will just pull you right up. That's what we have to believe. Hakol lefi rov ha'maaseh, to daven for it, to believe in it, and Hashem can do it. And this explains, my friends, as our final idea, and then we'll summarize a lot of story. The Gemara says on Vodasara, Amar Rava, Betchila Nikreda Tara Shmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, Basof Nikreda Shmo, Shenema Retaras Hashem Chaso, Ubetaraso Yege Yaman Valayla. First it says, in the Torah of Hashem you shall, you know, invest yourself, and then Ubetaraso, in your Torah, you should work Yaman Valayla. And Rashi said, Nikreda Shmo Shel Oso Tamit Shetarach, but it's called your Torah. If you really work hard on something, you become a chesav Torah. The name is the Mahos. Through learning Torah, you become Taroso. It's your Torah. And that's true of everything that we put ourselves to it. If we believed it's going to be an easy process and just throw in the towel right now. But if you really believe that you're going to lahakos, to really invest in it, it becomes yours. It's your kinyan. That's what the Tehillim is promising us. Let's share a story, and then we'll summarize what we've seen. Rabbi Prusansky, in the Haggadah, that Night of Amunah, which I was pushing on my trip, and I shared the story in a number of the places on my trip, tells a beautiful story about a bunch of high school boys who, many years ago, decided to play a prank by calling up different rabbis and asking them questions that have no real answer. So one boy, David, decides that he's going to do the big fish. He's going to call Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Gadol Hador. Calls him at 11:30 at night. The rabbi said, answers. Is Rav Moshe there? No, I'm afraid he's sleeping. Is it an emergency? Yes. So you can already see what type of boy this boy is. Rav Moshe gets on the phone. Yes, can I help you? And he asks this question. Rav Moshe immediately realizes this is a prank. He says to the boy, what's your name? The boy tells him his name. He says, what yeshiva did you learn? There he hesitates, because now he realizes, oh my gosh, maybe I got into trouble. Okay, Rav Moshe says, don't worry, I'm not going to get you in trouble. He tells him, he says, what Gemara are you learning? He tells him the Gemara. Rav Moshe says, tells him a question on this Gemara. He says, do you understand the question? The boy says, no. He says, that's probably because you don't understand the Gemara. Let me teach you the Gemara. And for an hour and a half, he's on the phone with David. Do you understand the Gemara now? No. Again. No. Again. A few times he teaches him the Gemara. And then he says, wow, such an unbelievable question. Good. Rav Moshe says, now go tell you, ask your Rebbe the question tomorrow. Next day he comes to class, raises his hand, asks the Rebbe the question, like the Rebbe's like, you know, where did this kid come from? Like, you know, where did you get this question from? Oh, Rav Moshe, you know, obviously we're, you know, on, you know, first name basis type of thing. And David came home. And he went into his room and he just broke down crying. And he told his parents the entire story, the prank and Rav Moshe. And he said, you know, to his parents, he says, you see that Rav Moshe believed in me. Rav Moshe believed that I could learn this Gemara and understand this Gemara and understand the question of this Gemara. If Rav Moshe believes in me, then I can believe in myself. And David became a Magid Shir. He teaches Gemara himself these days. Took a total different direction. Rabosai, this is what we need to understand. This one little medrash based on the pasuk Achor v'kedem sartani, but Hashem alai kapecha is mamish the yesod of what the human condition is about. On the first level, we have to live in two worlds at the same time. We have to have a vision of who we want to be. If I can't just go through a day of, you know, cooking meals and cleaning up and doing laundry and. That's very nice, and that is most of my day. But in that, where's my patience level? Where's my giving? Where's my creativity? Where's all of of this has to be developed. And the time of Sphirus HaOmer is the time of getting out of Egypt. Egypt is a place of Homer. It's a place of just matter. We have to create form to this matter. We have to create purpose. And one of the ways is to talk about it. And to, if you want to, you know, be a chesed person, so then read about chesed. Talk about chesed. Make it who you are. And make this a big inyan. And allow it to be a reflection of the core of who you are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisions for each and every one of us a world for us to build. A world that's going to achor v'kedem, that's going to continue from the past and going to be from the future, be built upon our little brick, our little contribution. Be ready to be able to say, I have created something special. I have not destroyed this world. I've made it a better place than when I came. I've created form. I've created meaning. I've created davar. I've created meaning to dibur, to the word, to that I understand that there's meaning to what I'm doing in life, and I'm giving form to the matter of my life. On the second level, achor v'ken sratani, at the end of my life, it has to look like the beginning. That purity, just like a child is so innocent and will follow a parent, whatever they say, yes is yes, no is no, little baby, right? And with this love and open eyes, and that's how we have to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have a vision, envisioning the end of who I want to be. The way to do this, the way to have that, is to have she'ifa. That right now, whatever stage I am in my life, I want to yearn toward that. I want that as my goal. I want to be a person who, after 120 years, will have gone back to that simplicity of a child in the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to have that type of she'ifa, that type of drive and desire. How do I do that? Three-step process. One is I got to believe it can happen. I got to believe that I can be moved out of my narrowness. That my narrowness is not something I have to, oh my gosh, I can't believe Hashem made all these pitfalls in my way. No, He did that for me to overcome them. That's part of my life. The Sartani is how Hashem envisioned it. Yes, there's darkness. Yes, Hashem places His hand and it looks very dark. What is our job? To recognize the limitations that I'm in and then say, you know what? But Hashem, you're Kol Yachol. You can do anything. I believe that I can move beyond these narrowness. Harchei Picha v'Avaleihu. I daven. I open my mouth and I do and I act and I grab onto that amuna. I hold on to Hashem's hand, Kivyachol, and I ask Him and I daven, help pull me out of these narrowness, these confines, and help me become the tzura, the being that I can be. Ubitora so yege yomam v'laila. That it becomes my Torah. That all that I've worked on with the Siyata D'Shemaya, the help from above, changes me as a person. And then, when I look back at our parsha, Isha Ki Tazria, when a woman gives birth, and I say that yes, it's after the laws of the animals, but you know what? Zocha, you're before the animals. This is the vision that Hashem had of you. Before He created the world, He had a vision of a Torah Dikah person. And each and every one of us has nothing stopping us from being that vision. We have to move away from the world of the Chomer, the world of the Chumrios, and be able to envelop ourselves in the world of Dibur, the world of Tzura, the world of meaning, and use these times of Sphirus HaOmer to become that beginning, to become that type of person we all envision ourselves that we can become.